I invite you to take your Bibles and open them to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. If you're using a black church Bible, it's page 574. Isaiah 53, and we are going to read from verse 3 to verse 12, which is the end of the chapter. So let us now give our full attention to God's holy and inerrant word. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 3, a prophecy of the Lord Jesus on the cross. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Amen. I want to meditate with you briefly this evening on the death of Christ, but more specifically on God the Father's role in the death of his own Son. The Lord Jesus was crucified, of course, as we know, and this is how it happened. He was betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples. He was arrested by Jewish soldiers. He was accused by Jewish religious leaders. He was handed over and tried by King Herod. He was tried and sentenced to death by the Roman governor, Pilate. The death sentence was carried out upon him by Roman soldiers. And when they crucified him, the crowds of people watched and mocked him. When you think of that, it seems like everyone had a hand in the death of Christ, didn't they? But there's one more hand yet, an invisible hand that we don't see, but who is also very active as Christ suffered and died. And that is the hand of God the Father. What part did God the Father play in all of this? Well, to answer that, I'd like us to look at Isaiah 53, verse 10. Just the first part, these words, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him." The Lord here being the Father, and him being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I realize this too late, but the New King James Bible that I normally use translates this verse a little bit different. And that's what I'm going to be using for this sermon. And it goes like this. The New King James says, verse 10, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." So instead of "it was the will of the Lord to crush him," it says "it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Now the Hebrew word here is to be pleased. Or even more, it's to delight in. I know what the ESV is doing. There's the old English saying, you know, "if it please you, sir," right? And it means if you want to, or if it's your will, and that's what the ESV has here, will. But that does hide the fact that there is a pleasing here inherent to this word and what was done. There's a delight here. So this is what God the Father did then at the crucifixion of Christ. He bruised or crushed his son. And it pleased him to do it. And if we were not so familiar, as I'm sure many of us are, with these words, this would sound very alarming to us. But we cannot overlook the fact that it pleased the Lord to do this. This is the center of what the crucifixion is. If we don't understand this, then we will not fully understand what happened when Christ gave his life and died on the cross. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. So as we think about this and the Father's role in this, I have two questions for us this evening. The first is this: what does it mean that God the Father bruised him? Now here I am going to take the side of the ESV Bible. A more accurate translation from Hebrew of this word is crush, not just the more gentle sounding bruise. And so Isaiah is telling us it pleased the Lord to crush him. That's harsh, isn't it? But this word is used elsewhere in the Bible to talk about, for example, when an army is defeated, and it says, like, they're totally defeated, it says they're crushed. And the idea is that there's nothing left of them. They are defeated, but they are completely broken and destroyed. That's this word. That is what God the Father did to Jesus, his son, on the cross. He crushed him. He broke him. How did he do that? When was the Lord Jesus crushed? Well, as he hung on the cross, Jesus Christ experienced the judgment of God, his Father, in his soul. While the soldiers were bruising and crushing his outward body, his Father was then bruising and crushing his soul. And there in his soul, Jesus experienced the pains of hell. Which is what? What are the pains of hell? Well, it is the greatest pain in all the world. It is the pain that we experience when God, our Creator, the one in whom we have our life and our being, when he forsakes us, when he turns his back on us completely, when he removes his love from us completely. And instead of love and favor from him, there's only anger. That's a crushing blow. That's what the Lord Jesus went through on the cross. Sadly, we know this, don't we? There are more ways to hurt someone than just a physical hurting. And those hurts can often be greater or deeper than physical bruising. And this is what God the Father did to his Son on the cross. He took away his favor and he showed him only anger. And at one point, in great torment, as he hung there, Jesus cries out in the darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that crushing of his soul was so great on the cross that physically Jesus also suffered and died because of it. The Romans, they knew just how long normally it took a person to die when they were crucified. This is in fact why it was one of their favorite methods of execution, because they knew it was a long death, a slow death, very effective at warning would-be criminals. But it wasn't long or slow for the Lord Jesus. And Pilate marveled when he was told that Jesus had died so quickly. But that's because it wasn't just the nails that afflicted him. It wasn't the cross. It wasn't the method of execution that hurt him so much. It was the Lord, his Father, who crushed him on the cross. But what we also need to realize as we think about all of that is that when what Jesus experienced on the cross is what we deserve, you and I, because of our sin. The sin that comes out of your heart, the sin that comes up and in a moment and we do it again and again and we repeat. Sin that just appears, but also the sin that we love and we treasure. You know that sin, don't you? We deserve to be crushed, body and soul, for it, because sin is evil, and if there is any justice in God, evil cannot go unpunished. And so we see in Jesus on the cross, in his affliction, the crushing that we justly deserve. So that's the answer then to our first question. What does it mean that God the Father bruised him or crushed him? But now the second question, and perhaps the more perplexing one, it's not just that God crushed him, is it? But Isaiah tells us here that it pleased the Lord to do it. Why? How could it please God to do that? And let's be honest. I know we're, most of us, I hope, are Christians. We've read a Bible all our life. But this doesn't sound so good, does it? Please, as I mentioned earlier, also means delight. Oh, how could a father delight in crushing his own son? Not just crushing him, but crushing him to death. Makes us a little uncomfortable to think about, perhaps. And it should make us uncomfortable. Because the Lord Jesus really suffered and really died because of it. But it's in this uncomfortable truth where we find not only our greatest hope, but our very salvation. And this is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper when we eat and drink and remember the death that Christ died on the cross. Now rest assured, it wasn't a delight as in, oh boy, this is great, I can't wait to do this. No, there's a way in which we can be pleased to do something even though it's hard and unpleasant and even terrible because of what results from doing it, the outcome. And that's what it was here for God the Father. So what could make God pleased to crush his son? What results could possibly happen? Well, let me give you two reasons. This is the first one, because it allowed God to show us his character. In the cross, in the crushing of his son on the cross, God shows us his character. What is his character? What do we see? Well, the Bible says that God is good and that God is just. Now, sin is evil. It is a moral evil. And what king, if he is good and just, will let evil continue without any punishment? What would we think of God if he let evil go? We would think he's either no king at all, if he can't do anything about it, or he has no strength. Or we would say he's a bad king, if he doesn't want to do anything about it. What would we think, for example, of a country also, where people could murder freely and all the authorities do nothing? Or where thieves were allowed to break in and steal whenever they wanted, and there were never any consequences for them? It'd be an awful country to live in, wouldn't it? We'd hate it. Corruption would rule. We'd be scared everywhere we go and in our homes. Same here. It's not a good thing. We would not enjoy it. We would not respect him if God would let sin go unpunished. But God is good, and God is just. And in the crushing of his son on the cross, as a punishment for sin, God declares to us, this is who I am. I am good. I am just. And under my rule, evil will be dealt with. And no one will get away with it. And if you've never thought of this, how the cross and the crushing of his son shows us the character of God, that he's good and just. If you've never thought of it, we need to know this. We need it. If we're going to trust him ourselves, if we're going to believe in him and entrust our whole lives to him, we need to know that he is good and just. We need to know who we're believing in. We need to have confidence in whom we are following. We need to know his character. And the cross shows us he is good and he is just. He will even. He's this just. He is so far from being corrupt that he will even punish his own son. Now you might think still, well, how is it good and just to punish Jesus? Wasn't he innocent? He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Well, this is also where we see on the cross, in the crushing of the Lord Jesus, the character of God on display. Not only his goodness and his justice, but also his mercy and his love. The Bible tells us Jesus was punished and he suffered at the hands of the Father because he voluntarily offered to take the place of sinners. He wasn't forced. He wasn't coerced. He wasn't tricked. He humbled himself willingly. He came and he took our punishment upon himself voluntarily. He took the punishment of hell on the cross to save sinners like us from that. He was innocent. But he said, as it were, to his Father, Father, put their sin on me. Crush me and not them. And God the Father said to his Son, go, and I will be pleased to crush you. And so the cross not only shows us again that God is good and just, that sin and evil will be punished, but it also shows us that God is full of love and mercy, and his kindness is toward us. This is who God is. If you want to know the character of God, look to the cross. There it is preeminently on display. His goodness, his justice, his love, his mercy, and his kindness. You know what happened on the cross should give us every confidence in the world that he is the one that we can follow, that we can entrust our lives and our families' lives to. The Father gave his Son in the place of sinners. The Son selflessly gave himself for sinners, knowing he would be crushed. That's God's character. And it's perfect. It's perfect for sinners like us. And it's glorious. You know, the Queen of Sheba, when at first she did not believe it when she heard about King Solomon's glory, but when she finally did come to him and seen it all for herself, seen him, she simply replied, "Only half was told to me." Solomon's glory was far greater than she had thought or heard. And it's the same when we go to the cross of Jesus Christ and see what the Son did and what the Father did to his Son for sinners like us. We find that God is far more glorious in his character than we ever would have thought before. The half is not told to us without the cross. So it pleased the Lord to crush him for one, because it shows us God's character. God showed it to us. And then, also, a second reason. It pleased the Lord to crush his Son because it saved a people. It saved a people and gave to them eternal life instead of eternal death. God was pleased to turn his back on his Son for a season in order to gain million more sons and daughters forever and ever. When Christ was crushed, his people's sins were crushed with him. If you belong to Christ, dear believer, this is where your salvation was achieved. This is where it was all accomplished. In the crushing on the cross, when Christ went through hell on that cross and the Father turned his face away from him, forsook him, he saved you and me from hell. Back in verse 5 here of Isaiah 53, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Healed from what? From sin and from all its effects. And so saved then from its punishment that sin deserves. Can you think of anyone doing anything greater than this for you? Think. God crushed his Son. And he says to you, "But I was happy to do it, to save you, to give you eternal peace. I was pleased to crush him who wanted to take your place so that I could heal you from all your sin." Please the Lord to crush him. We get the impression with this language that if he had to do it all over again to save you, he would. He would do it again. He would choose it every time. Thank the Lord, it was only once. Both God the Father and God the Son display great love to us as sinners on the cross. The Lord Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend." God shows us in the crushing of his Son for us that he is our friend. He's a friend for you. He's a friend for me. So I urge you, bring all your sin to him and have it crushed there in Christ. Don't hide it. Don't keep it. Don't be embarrassed and try and minimize it or hold on to it. Bring it fully to Christ, and he will take it away. That is why God crushed Jesus. And that is why it pleased him to do so. And that is the role that God the Father played in the death of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome truth, this truth that leaves us silent, perhaps, that humbles us, that leaves us in awe and wonder. How would you do such a thing? What father could do such a thing? And it's even multiplied when we think that it wasn't for friends per se at the beginning, but for sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh Lord, we as parents protect our children with everything we have. To give them up for sinners in this world would be unthinkable. Oh Father, your love is shown to us. The love of Christ is shown in that he gave himself willingly. But the love of God the Father is also very evident in the cross. We praise you. Lord, if any of us are holding on to our sin, oh, let us see here your character. That you are good and just. That you are loving and merciful and kind. Let us bring that sin to you. Draw us to you, oh Lord. Set our eyes on Christ this week. May that be the strength that we receive, that we need for all our activity this week, whether at work or home or on vacation. Lord, may we consider what you have done and what Christ has done, and may we live our life accordingly. So thank you for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.